Hey, you can look at us on the internet today, Dusty. Don't tell anybody. I mean, tell everybody.
You know, you ever get the Hy-Vee kettle chips? Good cheap option.
Yeah. The Hy-Vee brand chips are really good. We had some over the weekend for the for the tailgate. Yeah.
Absolutely. You'll be there today at Wynn?
11-1, 95th and Antioch. We got steak day, baby. Steak day, $10 steak. Get your steak, get your green beans, get your mashed taters with the little garlic in it. Oh, man, I'm thinking about that steak right
now. Could you eat a steak for lunch?
Why couldn't you?
Yes. I don't know. It just might be a little heavy. I don't know. Like a nice little, like, 8-ounce strip and a thing.
That's what it is. It's 8-ounce steak and some potatoes and green beans. Great. Go get it for lunch today. You know what? Eat half of it. Take half home for dinner, too.
Here's a hot take.
Or buy two.
I think prime rib's overrated.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, okay. I actually am with you on that.
Yeah, with the sweaty meat carver.
A lot going on. I mean, I love horseradish. Mm. I love au jus.
Mm. Yeah.
But, like, give me, like, a prime rib on a bun. I'll eat that.
You'll eat as a steak sandwich. My favorite steak is the ribeye. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you guys fall in and what your steak is, but man, a ribeye.
Give me a rare 8-ounce filet.
Okay. Mac, what is your favorite steak?
I know. I like it all. It's all great.
So Mac has no idea what steak is.
I was waiting for Mac to be like, I love a sirloin.
Yeah.
Like a New York strip. I don't know. It's all great.
Like, yeah, the sirloin at Applebee's. Oh.
The Applebee's has got steak tips that you like, right?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
That's right.
I do. I love a good ribeye, man. Oh, so good.
I want to get back into the Royals conversation we had earlier because I do understand the sheer panic, and I have...
Oh, it's time. I'm not mad at people for panicking.
I totally get it, but it's. I feel my duty,
duty,
to let people kind of wake up in the morning and hear some sort of, you know, reasoning as to why you can, you know, maintain low tones, right? And my stepmother, who is as cool as a cucumber because she has to be, my dad is off the rails when the Royals start losing like they do. It's just like, season's over. I feel bad. I told my dad last night.
Did you tell your dad just to turn it off then?
I could. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like telling Aunt Bev to stop smoking cigs. She's going to go outside the house and fire that Winston 100 right up.
You can only quit when you're ready to quit.
And I don't want him to turn it off. I want him to enjoy this ride because when you're down, it's always better when you get back up.
Well, it's the whole micro versus macro picture here in sports that sometimes we forget about the macro because we're so dialed into the micro, and the micro isn't really good right now, but the macro is still pretty appealing.
Yeah, and Macro is our executive producer here on Fesco and Dusty. And
actually, we call him Micro.
No. And the thing about
I don't
this,
think he was paying attention because he's got this bewildered look.
What's he looking at? But look, you know, and
little Mac.
And I use my parents as an example because my stepmother's always calm, cool, collected. And she texted me last night, and so did my dad. Both of them texted me. My dad
says, how you know when it's kind of going. Like, I woke up this morning and I had a lot of texts from people about this team. So you know the panic is setting in.
And she goes, I don't know how much more I can take. This offense is stressing me out. And I said, that's a fair take, Mary. Yeah. I was like, that's totally fine. Like,
Is she quite contrary?
No, but there's something about her.
All right, good.
And the thing about this is that's chemistry 101.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you know, she's, you know, throughout the year, she's like, oh, your dad's losing. I can hear him downstairs just cussing. And I'm like, that's not right. And then my dad's like, am I okay now to be a Debbie Downer? I said, to both of your points, 1,000%. Because this was a series that you looked at and you thought to yourself, well, there's no way we're going to win Wednesday because it's Scooble and he's just a stud. I just say no way, but it's going to be tough.
I thought they were going to beat Scooble because
we thought they were going to throw a cheese blanket on him yesterday.
Yeah.
And then you looked at, you know, Monday night, you're like, okay, Seth Lugo, you know, I'm in my car and I'm listening to the first inning and it was like 3 pitches, 3 strikes. The guy was out. And then I got home and it was like, he's at 39 pitches in the second inning. I'm going, what is going on? And then the Bobby Witt Grand Slam happens. I'm like, all right, there we go. Mm-hmm. There's the MVP coming up clutch. I texted you guys something big's coming either from Tommy Pham or Bobby Witt Jr. Pretty vague, but something big did happen. And then they blew 2 4-run leads. And that one stung.
Tommy hasn't been fantastic recently.
No, he has not. And that one hurt because you saw the lead. It was within your grasp, not once, but twice. And then you lose 7-6. And then you get to Tuesday night and Cole Reagans is dealing. 7 innings, 5 hits, 6 strikeouts. Looks just like Cole Reagans should look.
He was good.
And it's 1-1, and the offense is nowhere in sight. Goes incognito. And you lose an extra innings. And there's, you know, a couple plays where Erceg was, like, mortal. Right.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, oh, crap, that one really hurt. We talked about that yesterday. Like, that was the gut punch. That's why people are on this emotional roller coaster, because here's Cole Reagans, you know, one of the top strikeout pitchers in the league, one of the best left-handers in the American League, one of the best left-handers in baseball.
One of the best in baseball, yeah.
And you lost both of those games. And then last night, it's 4-1. And to me, Bob, when I saw the score 4-1 coming home from dinner, I felt like the score was 9-1.
Yeah, I did too. I actually turned it off last night about the sixth inning. Even my wife, who like watches every pitch, she's like, can we watch something else now? I'm very disappointed in this team. And then I woke up and I had about 85 text messages from friends and people that were, you know, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to panic right now? The answer is you can act however you want to act, and however you want to feel about the Royals at this point in time is justified. If you're looking at it and you go, no, it's no big deal. It's been a great season. It's been fun. The organization is headed in the right direction. We love everything that's going on. John's got this thing humming. JJ's got this thing humming. I love Q. Hey, maybe they're just not ready to win quite yet. Okay, fine. You can have that feeling. If you're pissed today and you're waking up, well, I mean, you have an opportunity.
That's
fine too. Yeah, like your emotion today about this baseball team is justified either way you look at it, from the micro approach of what's gone over this week or the macro approach of what this whole season has been. You're right in your feelings. And I'm not going to argue with anybody about their feelings, but I really do believe that what this comes down to is, instead of nitpicking the bullpen or the starting pitching, or some people are, I saw something today, Q should be fired. I'm like, what? Oh my God, this is ridiculous. It really boils down to this. When you're at this point of the season, when you're fighting for a playoff spot, it comes down to your star players getting the job done. And I'm not trying to pick on Bobby Witt, but he hasn't been good in the month of September. Since Vinny has gone down, the Royals are 7-11. You could say 7-12 with that game that he was in and got hurt and they lost, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make it a little bit better. It's 7-11.
Don't sugarcoat it.
But okay, so it's 7-12 since the Vinny injury. Mm. Bobby Witt in the month of September is only batting .246. And in his last 28 days, it's even worse. He's only hitting .238. Now, the team isn't doing anything special. They're at a .224 batting average in the month of September, and their home runs are way down. They hit 41 home runs in August. They only have 12 right now. So the big picture is, it's not like we can sit here and blame MJ Melendez or the guy that looks like Bono in center field or Massey at second base. Like, you can nitpick those guys, but at the end of the day, the MVP candidate that we've had for most of the season is not playing like an MVP when he needs to be playing like an MVP. And I know that sounds a little, you know, oh my God, I can't believe you're picking on Bobby Witt. He's one of the best players in baseball. It's not picking on Bobby Witt. It's saying, if you're going to be a star in this league, if you're going to be compared to Patrick Mahomes, then you need to do those Patrick Mahomes type things. And when the chips have been down over the years, it's been Mahomes, it's been Kelsey, it's been Chris Jones. Those are the guys that step it up. Those are the guys that make the plays. Those are the guys that come through in those moments. And over these last 9 games, I need to see Bobby. I need to see Salvi. I need to see Reagans. I need to see Singer. I need to see Lugo. I need to see those guys step it up. Your veteran guys that make the good money, that get paid the big bucks. This is why you get paid those big bucks. This is why the team and organization believes in you. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to play. And over these last 9 games, Bobby needs to get hot. And look, we can make all the excuses we want. He's not getting pitches to hit. Maybe he's chasing things. Stop chasing things then. You have got, and he made an error last night. You have just got to be better than everybody else. He's got to be the best player on the field for these last 9 games for the Royals to have a chance.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I put the numbers together, and Bobby Witt Jr.'s last 10 games, .256, 2 home runs, and only 2 multi-hit games.
Yeah.
And look, I understand the other side of it is like, well, he was doing some historical stuff in the month of July. No doubt.
No doubt he was.
Right?
My God.
He did historical stuff this year as the only shortstop to have back-to-back 30-30 seasons in the history of Major League Baseball.
Right.
And it is maybe unfair to put it all on him, and not a lot on Sal, but I mean, when you look at this team only wins when those two guys perform in the lineup. That's case in point.
Sal's been consistent, though. He's hitting .271 this month, and I looked at like all his bat, like for every month of the season, he's basically been a .270 hitter all season long. He's has been as consistent as they come. This loss of Vinny Pasquantino,
it's tough.
It has been so big because Vinny was your most clutch player. The dude was hitting .375 with runners in scoring position and two outs. Like, if that doesn't define clutch, I don't know what does. Vinny Pasquantino may have been the most clutch hitter that this organization has had in a decade. And you take that out of the lineup, now you don't have that clutch hitter.
Right. And it was, and the reason I think that there is panic and there is stress and there is a raw emotional feeling of this team is because you went into this season, and I love this text from 816. I think people forget the expectations at the beginning of the year and that we are playing on house money.
Absolutely,
right now.
Yeah.
While I completely understand freaking out and that we're not going to make the playoffs, take a step back and realize that we aren't even supposed to be here right now. So everything we do from here on out is a bonus. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I do also believe the other side, your expectations should be playoff team, because here's the thing, Bob, Mac, they still are.
They still are. 85.6% chance to make the playoffs today.
Right. And they are two games up on Detroit, a game and a half up on Minnesota. And as your son, Alex Gold, tweeted out, three against the Giants, who are 74-78, three against the Nats, who are 68-84, and then three against the Braves, who are 82-70. That's all that remains until October.
Well, that's exactly right. But the Giants are you know, playing good ball right now. They've beaten Baltimore the last two nights. They have a nooner against them today. And so we'll see how that one plays out. But it's not like the Giants are coming in here, you know, giving up on the rest of the season. They just beat Baltimore. Now, Baltimore isn't playing. Baltimore has not had a month above 500 since July. So they're not playing great baseball. I'd love to see them in the postseason because I think the Royals could handle their business against Baltimore. But San Francisco is still playing. Like, credit to San Francisco, I guess. They haven't quit on the season. The Nationals, out of a lot of young players, they're actually playing better baseball now than they were at the beginning part of the season. You look at what they've done over the last few weeks. The Nationals are actually playing some good baseball. And then it's going to come down to those final three games against the Braves. We're going to be battling for playoff position. They're going to be battling for playoff position. I hate that it's on the road. And maybe those last three games are what's ultimately going to determine what's going on here from a playoff standpoint in Kansas City. But, I mean, Bobby Witt, you know, take the day off, take a deep breath, relax a little bit, get out there Friday, man, and be that MVP candidate again, because the Royals need you to be that MVP for them to get into the postseason.
Go ahead and mark this, Mac. September 19th, 8:15 in the morning, Dusty Likens here. Guarantee you the Royals will play playoff baseball on October 1st. Coming up on the other side, Orgy and Trojans. I'll explain what that means here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, some mornings you wake up and you feel great. Other mornings you wake up and you go, man, I've got arthritis pain. Or sometimes maybe you sleep downstairs because you just can't make it up the stairs with your arthritis pain in your knees. And if you're tired of dealing with that, I've got a solution for you. You can now use your own body's healing properties to revitalize your achy joints and get you real lasting pain relief. I'm talking about advanced regenerative medicine at QC Kinetics. If you're tired of all of that arthritis pain in your knees, your hips, your back of your shoulder, then this is something you need to check out. Everybody's talking about regenerative medicine, and the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics are experts in these amazing treatments, and people are raving about them. You can enhance your joints, improve your mobility, and get back to doing the stuff you love without pain, without drugs, or without surgery or downtime. They've got tens of thousands of satisfied patients, and the consultation is totally free. So call them now and take action to get lasting joint pain relief with help from QC Kinetics. 816-412-6299. That's 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics off 435 in State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299.
Welcome back in to Fesco and Dusty. Nate Taylor coming up in about 5 minutes of The Athletic. But before we get into that, I want to get into college football this weekend.
All right.
I have an interesting take for all of you. Are the blue bloods of college football, when they are thriving, making the sport better to watch?
Oh, I think so. I still think when you see, like, this weekend, Michigan, USC, Texas has taken on Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, who I don't really have a dog in the fight when it comes to college football, Ohio State. You're right about that, my Buckeyes. but you know, I like those type of games. Like, the name brand games do it for me. Kind of in college basketball as well. I mean, you see, like, Kansas playing Kentucky, you're like, oh, cool, I'm going to dial in. But if Kansas is playing UMass School for the Blind from Amherst, you're like, man, I'm not that interested in that.
Because your top five in the country are Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Ole Miss. Below that is Tennessee, Missouri, University of Miami, the Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes, baby, the U.
Oregon and Penn State, and then USC just outside the top 10 at 11. So it'll be I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'll watch Colorado Baylor. I'm going to watch that Tennessee and
Oklahoma
game.
Let's go.
Right?
It's going to be fun.
And Michigan USC is interesting.
Yeah, it is, for a number of reasons.
Because the name of the Michigan quarterback is?
His name is Orgy. I mean, like, it's a terrible last name. Let's call it what it is. Like, you got to change your last name.
To group?
O-R-J-I is the quarterback for Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that can't be. And then you hear people pronounce, you're like, oh, my God.
And people say that I made up that tease. No, there's literally college, like, headlines that says, Orgy takes on the Trojans.
Right, exactly.
And I'm like, that's a legit headline. Like, I'm not being a smartass.
Michigan's Orgy takes on USC's Trojans. Like,
these are all headlines
it's
that we
like
saw.
It's like when Topeka Seaman plays the Topeka High, and it's, you know, the Trojans versus the Topeka Seaman. Like, it's like,
who wins?
Yeah, who wins in this one? But, it really is an unfortunate last name.
Imagine middle school for him, man.
Oh, my God. Imagine college.
Seriously, yeah, I guess you're right. After I said that, I was like, honestly, it would get worse. It wouldn't get better.
Imagine his girlfriend explaining to her parents what she did the night before.
I mean, if you marry this...
I was over at Orgy's house. Excuse me.
You were doing what now?
You're going to transfer.
but if you marry this guy, like if you're a woman, you can't take that last name.
No. Not a chance.
Right? Like, no.
And I do think it's interesting because I bring up the Blue Bloods winning, and I was watching... I always do this when I get home now because of my time availability. And I was watching Colin Cowherd, and he had, what's his name?
Is it Bruce Feldman who does college sports for them?
No, it was, they had Lincoln Riley on from USC.
Oh, yeah.
And one of his questions was, like, what advice would you give Caleb Williams? And it was a very good answer. And then the other one was, he's like, does this USC team kind of feel like those early 2000 USC teams? Because Moss, their quarterback, who's ripping it apart this year, 48-66, 607 yards, and they had that big win against LSU in week one, which is a great game to watch.
And then Brian Kelly, again, I'll say it, biggest fraud in sports behind Urban Meyer.
I do give Urban Meyer credit, though, because they asked him about the Florida job, and he goes, that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah.
You know, Florida's going to go out and hire probably Gruden here. We can get into that.
He did say he wanted to get back into the game. But Lake McCree is also a tight end at USC, 87, tight end, big dude, number one target. USC is kind of fun again.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Caleb Williams was there last year and he couldn't beat Utah in any game he ever played. You know, all those sort of things. Never could win the big game.
Because he's not a big game quarterback.
But it's fun to watch that. And I'm with you because I don't really have a dog in the fight. Like, obviously, like, facetiously, I root for Colorado because I think it's fun to root for the bad guy.
Right,
and I think that they give a lot of good content for shows. And Deion's just a gold mine for audio. And Shador's the bad guy. He doesn't shake people's hands because they called him out and said they were going to put like a hurting on him. And it's like, well, where are you at now?
Right.
Which a lot of people loved when Baker did what he did to KU fans or to KU's football team.
Yeah.
And, you know, you enjoy watching stuff like that. But for me, I love the games where it's like Tennessee, Oklahoma.
Those are the games you live for in college
USC,
football.
USC, Michigan. Like, Michigan, I think, is done. I think their offense is terrible. I think their defense is still top five. But, again, like, you got to have some sort of production on offense in college football.
Well, that's why they're switching to Orgy. I mean, you know, they're changing quarterbacks in week three, week four, whatever it is in college football right now. Like, they're going with Orgy.
That's right. Well, we will end our Orgy talks and get into our guy from The Athletic, Mr. Nate Taylor, who will join us here on Fesco and Dusty.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, Coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
That's right. Nate Taylor, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark Ferguson and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate Taylor joins us. Nate, are you excited for Orgy to take on the Trojans this weekend? That's a headline. I didn't make that up.
No, it's happening in Michigan.
Sure. Okay. I guess, yeah. That is quite the headline. Wow.
Welcome to 2024. I guarantee the headlines get a lot more deeper than that. Nate, I want to bring this up because I thought these odds were crazy on DraftKings. Do you know who the number two best odds to score a touchdown this weekend against Atlanta and Kansas City are? Number one is Bijan Robinson. I'll give you the free space. Guess who number two is?
And this is either team, right?
Either team.
Interesting. I would say, I don't know, Rashee Rice. I mean, he scored, you know, last Sunday.
It is none other than Carson Steele at minus 105.
He's got the second best odds to score a touchdown.
Bijan Robinson, I believe, is like minus 130, and Carson Steele is minus 105. What is his role now that Isaiah Pacheco is out with Kareem Hunt on the practice squad?
Yeah, no, it's I guess somewhat understandable. Again, I would pick like Travis Kelce or Rashee Rice instead of Carson Steele to be that high, but. Look, I wrote it in The Athletic today. The expectation is Carson Steele is going to be the starting running back. This, you know, undrafted rookie who's, you know, technically a fullback, but obviously can handle the ball if necessary. Look, he's going to get about 14, 15 touches against the Falcons. So it'll be obviously a very, you know, memorable moment in his career, especially for this to happen so quickly in just week three of the of his rookie season. But again, if he scores a touchdown, again, what a moment for him if that happens against the Falcons, you know, in a win, of course. But yeah, I mean, for DraftKings to basically, I don't know how much the Chiefs are really hiding it at this point. I know Andy sort of alluded to it on Monday in the aftermath of obviously Isaiah Pacheco needing to have surgery on his fractured fibula. But I also know too that even with them bringing in Kareem Hunt, that's a move that's more about, like, in my opinion, week four, maybe week five, of course, you know, to get him sort of in rhythm with the offense. So at least for one game, it's going to be Carson Steele's opportunity with obviously, you know, Samaje Perine still being the third down back.
Yeah, I think that's obviously a good way to approach it. You know, I know he kind of said yesterday Kareem may play. I think that's a brilliant coaching move by Andy because now Atlanta's preparing for Kareem Hunt and he may not play in that game, but it just gives something for Atlanta to do to waste their time, which Andy is a brilliant mastermind at getting other teams to waste their time preparing for things. So I like the fact that he threw that out there. But how do you really feel about the Pacheco injury and Carson Steele being the guy? Because I look at Pacheco, I go, yeah, he's a really good player. Macro is the Chiefs won a Super Bowl with Sharkhandrick West and Spencer Ware as their running back. So I look at it like, yeah, it seems like a big loss now, but Andy Reid, big picture, it's like they figure it out at the running back position, Nate.
Yeah, they've certainly done it before in the past. And, you know, there's a reason I think that they didn't really invest in the position throughout the offseason. I think one reason was to give Isaiah Pacheco the bulk of the work, you know, entering his third year. I think another reason too is because it is the one position that you can pretty much integrate within about a week or two, more so than like a tight end or a receiver. And so this is kind of, you know, what you anticipate, right? You would love to have four really good running backs. I think that's the Chiefs' ultimate goal here. Especially if Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes back and can be serviceable in October. But with a rookie and with someone who you know in the past, who's not the same player, obviously, in Kareem Hunt, this goes to, okay, who do you trust? Do you trust, obviously, Patrick Mahomes to have a little bit more of the burden? Sure, we've obviously seen it before. And, of course, do you trust the coaching staff between, you know, Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator? Well, now it gets to, you know, some bubble screens, I think some traditional screens. Obviously, there'll be jet sweeps involved if you want to use Xavier Worthy to get the defense going side to side. And then, yes, I think the most productive thing that Carson Steele has done is show that he can be effective in short yardage situations. So even if you get in the third and one or third and two, you can hand the ball off to him with some confidence. Because he showed, obviously, last week against the Bengals, despite the fumble, hey, I can still get you three really tough yards if necessary. And maybe that's one reason he will be projected to perhaps score a touchdown against the Falcons. My thing, though, is now this should lead to, you know, Patrick Mahomes trying to get in rhythm more often with Travis Kelce, right? Because he is your outlet if the running game isn't as strong as it normally would be with, you know, with obviously a healthy Pacheco.
Well, and Nate Taylor, that's kind of where I was thinking about this week as well. This is a week where I'm predicting Travis Kelce to quote unquote have that breakout week. I think everything kind of lines up. The national press is starting to talk. Oh my God, Travis is washed. It's more than just Carrington and Rob saying it, right? It's Sunday Night Football. It's Atlanta where Tony Gonzalez became a great tight end, as we all know. And you know, people are talking about Travis's production going down. I think all of that adds up to me for a huge night from Travis Kelce. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it certainly should lead to that, right? I mean, that would be an ideal situation, is for, you know, Xavier Worthy to have a highlight or two. But obviously, it's time for the Chiefs, after two games, to sort of feature Travis Kelce again. I think there is some misunderstanding from some pundits, some analysts, to say, well, you know, maybe he's, you know, struggling yet again. Well, Travis is healthy, and I saw how capable he could be for this offense in training camp. It's just a matter of having him run the routes that he's really good at, and not trying to get, you know, the ball to Rashee Rice, or not trying to get, you know, Xavier Worthy in rhythm as quickly as you can, you know, in his rookie season. It's unfortunate with the Hollywood Brown situation. But I think for some reason against the Bengals, which has normally been the case, Patrick struggles to pass the ball into the middle of the field. But if you watch the game Monday, one of the things that the Eagles really could do was pass the ball in the middle of the field against the Atlanta Falcons. It's obviously helpful that they have a pretty good running game with Saquon Barkley, but I do get the sense that, hey, if the Falcons struggled, you know, with the Eagles tight ends, this should be a case for Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to just work some of those short routes. Then you get to some of the intermediate routes. And of course, if you open up things with play action in the red zone, I imagine Travis Kelce will probably be a focal point, considering that you don't have Hollywood Brown and now you don't have Isaiah Pacheco.
I think it's interesting when you look at this defense, too, because the first 2 weeks, tight ends have been the thorn in the side for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's been Gesicki, and then before that, it was Isaiah Likely. I don't think Gesicki's going to have the game he had this week against anybody else the rest of the season. Kyle Pitts, man, we're fantasy guys. We're football geeks, Nate. Never lived up to the expectations that we thought he would have. Is this the type of game where, like, you put, you know, Nick Bolton up against him? Like, what's the role here with Nick Bolton in this game against Atlanta?
Gentlemen, I'm terrified.
Okay. Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. I'm really terrified because I think the book is out on the Chiefs defense, which, again, a really good unit. They're not going to be as dominant as they were a year ago. We all kind of expected that without Legarius Sneed. But I didn't think there was going to be such a vacant hole in the middle of the defense, right?
Yeah.
So I get the sense that, okay, who can improve from the options that you have? I don't know if they're going to play Drew Tranquil more than Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton is the middle linebacker. So based on the responsibility in Steve Spagnuolo's system, you've got to be on the field, you know, almost the majority, if not all of the time. Now you can say, well, Nate, what about Justin Reed? Can we put Justin Reed on Kyle Pitts? Well, you can try to do that, but I think there are some formation and some scheme issues that allow Nick Bolton to be in a one-on-one situation with someone who's, you know, a freakish athletic human being in Kyle Pitts. And it's one thing for week one where it's like, okay, this is the first time that you can really tell, okay, Kirk Cousins hasn't played with any of these guys. Mm-hmm. And now we saw, okay, in a hurry-up situation, game on the line, okay, that's some of the things that, you know, the Falcons sort of anticipated when they did have training camp before, obviously, the preseason and your opener. So, you know, the more, you know, Kirk Cousins is on the field, the more he's going to be in rhythm. And if Kyle Pitts isn't the one running routes, they should definitely have Bijan Robinson just, you know, leak out of the backfield and try to find one-on-one matchups with Nick Bolton or, you know, Leo Chenault. As well as Leo Chenault has played, Bijan Robinson's really good. He's really dynamic. So those are the two players that really, you know, concern me about this game. And part of that is because the Chiefs have not cover tight ends well this season, like you're saying, Dusty. And also, you can just check it down to Bijan Robinson and see if he can make a, you know, Nick Bolton miss a tackle or two to maybe move the chains and keep the possession going forward for the Falcons. I'm not worried about the Falcons' receivers necessarily. I'm worried about the tight ends and Bijan Robinson.
Kind of a two-point conversation, though. Like, I feel like no team that I've ever been around has a better does a better job of stepping up their game when everybody says they can't, right? Like, as soon as people start doubting, guys raise their level. That could be the case with Nick Bolton this week, where everybody's been kind of down on him the first 2 weeks. Maybe the, you know, maybe he takes that heat, takes that criticism, however you want to say it, and uses that and motivates himself and plays better. But why do you see what we're calling a drop-off from Nick Bolton this year?
I think it's a couple things. I'm not sure he's like fully healthy. I know he will not tell, you know, I don't think he'll give us honest answers about that. But, you know, of course he had the elbow injury in training camp. He had a litany of injuries last season. And I think that is sort of starting to affect his level of play. And I think partly part of it too, is because he didn't play in the preseason, fellas, the game was moving faster for him than I think a lot of his teammates. Right. So, it's not great when you haven't had any really, you know, any real football that you've played since the Super Bowl. And then the first game you play is against Lamar Jackson. And all of a sudden, Isaiah Likely is the leading tight end, not Mark Andrews. And then I think last week he showed better signs, right? There was that one play where he did recognize the screen, blew that up for the Bengals. He was better in run support. But I do think, hey, this is what happens. There's a slow deterioration for most players as they play more games, more snaps. And I don't know if there's the explosiveness from Nick Bolton in terms of running sideline to sideline. He's never been like an elite speed guy, but I do think there is a little bit of a slower step from him. And from a cover standpoint, I think it's somewhat concerning because you can almost look at it on film and say, is he thinking too much? Is he not reacting as quickly as we've seen in the past? Are his instincts just not in rhythm yet, because it might take him, you know, a month to A, get healthier, and B, get into more of a, you know, what he's been consistently on tape, which is terms of, hey, I make the sure tackle, my instincts are good, I'm usually in the right spot, even though I'm not the most athletic guy on the field. Well, if you're just having a little bit of deterioration in any of those points, most NFL teams can start to expose that, especially when you know, tight ends are only going to get better in this league. And based on the Chiefs' schedule, this is not the easiest start, right? You're not playing right. The Carolina Panthers to open up the season. And you don't have, like, a team that has a lot of injuries, like, let's say, like the Los Angeles Rams, right? So you can sort of scheme around some of the skill position weaknesses that the other team has. Right now, outside of T. Higgins, he was the only person who was really injured that matters of these first 2 weeks. And the Atlanta Falcons don't really have an injury that concerns you from an offensive standpoint as well. So I do think there's a little bit of a slow step. I'm not sure he's fully healthy. And so you just hope, can he get healthier as the season goes along? And can he get better at his own technique, his own eyes, in terms of recognizing what the offense is trying to do to counteract what the defensive call is?
Nate, last one real quick. Kind of funny. The manpire is what I call Mel Kiper. Is just absolutely irate that thinks the NFL should be banning the too high safety, that it is ruining football. He says that the too high safety is ruining football. Do you agree or disagree?
You know what else is ruining football?
No.
My God.
I mean, I mostly agree with Mel Kiper a couple of days ago when he said, "Hey, the Carolina Panthers have really done a disservice to Bryce Young based on all the changes they made from year one to year two." Totally understand that. Totally agree. I woke up this morning and saw it on the screen, and I said, "I'm sorry, what?" isn't that what we have, coaches? Isn't the quarterback? And this is what Tom Brady always says, and I have a lot of respect for. We have really dumbed it down for these quarterbacks because A, they're too young and they're playing too soon. But hey man, if there's two deep safeties, somebody's got to be open on a dig route. You can run a screen game. You can do what the Chiefs did even last week and hope that somebody makes a tackle or miss in the open field, right? We can just throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage, and hey, if they can't rally and tackle, guess what? That's 8 yards, and we keep this thing moving. But no, I mean, let's let's be honest, okay? There's a reason why defenses are having two deep safeties, but no, this is like, you know, it's unfortunate that we've all gotten to a place where it's like the 1990s or the 1980s are like a disservice to what we're watching now. But it's like, hey man, we saw the 46 Bears defense, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody thought that was crazy at the time, but guess what? Football evolves. You kind of get better. The coaching staffs are supposed to figure it out. That's why they're getting paid millions of dollars. But no, it's okay sometimes to watch a 17-20 game because the defense is like, we're not going to give up the easy chunk yard plays or the easy throw it over our head score. So if you want it in the 30s in September, I understand that. But football is about the strategical mismatches, the strategical adjustments. So no, if a team is playing you a certain way, it's your responsibility, Mel Kiper, to figure out how can we get in the end zone, even though there's two deep safeties.
Mel Kiper just reported he's good with not having defenses allowed in the NFL anymore. Just offense against air, and that way we can get it done. I think streaming on Peacock ruins the NFL more than the too high safety, and I'm being serious about that.
Okay. Well, Nate, hey man.
Sure.
Well, hey, go say hi.
How many people have you heard complain about streaming versus the too high safety?
I've heard a lot of people say, no, what game is on? And I'm like, oh boy, it's on that Peacock thing. And they're like, well, what's funny though is like, people are like, well, I don't have it. And it's like, that's right, because like, they played the playoff game here. So like, you didn't need Peacock, but you're going to need Peacock pretty soon, guys.
Well, hey, Nate, go enjoy Atlanta's new and Atlanta's own Aaron Ladd as you guys go check out Magic City this week in Atlanta and have fun watching that game on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Thank you, fellas, as always.
You got it. No problem. Nate Taylor there on Fesco and Dusty, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark Ferguson and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Coming up on the other side, it's time to get into Thanks, Coach, on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. Good God, is it pouring? Like, where did that come from? Mac just looked outside.
Last night, I'm getting ready to go to bed and starting to wind down. I'm like, let me check the weather. And then the weather app on the iPhone sucks. It's worse than Siri. And so then I go to AccuWeather. It's like 6% chance of rain. I'm like, I better throw the top back on the car. I'm glad I did. My God, it's pouring right now.
Yeah, you'd have a wet ass on your way
home. Oh, God. On the way to Hy-Vee, I'd have been soaked there today from 11 to 1.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know the answer. Will they still grill out? They have the tarps, right?
Yeah, but I think there's like an undercover I think they could probably get to as well. But it's supposed to stop raining in like 10 minutes and it's supposed to clear up and it's supposed to be great for the rest of the day.
According to what? AccuWeather or
AccuWeather? AccuWeather. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my. Bob's had too much coffee today.
Just the excitement of being around you. No, AccuWeather said like a little bit of rain. So I'm like, all right, I better throw that top back on the old Bronco right now. And so 31% chance of rain around 11 a.m. So about 25% chance of rain for the rest of the day. I'm just concerned the California Trail High School or middle school football game may be canceled today if it rains. I'm not going to sit out there in that rain.
Looks like Cody got soaked.
Did he?
He's behind you. His new 96.5 The Fan hat looks like he's been out in just a torrential downpour.
You think Cody was trying to move that tree over there on Squib or what?
I don't know. We went out there and looked at it.
Yeah. And it was nice this morning when we were out there looking at it. Mm-hmm. If you want to look at us, we're nice to look at as well. You can stream us. You can get it live on X, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, all the places, right?
That's right.
And you can see our smiling faces. We're gorgeous. We're the best looking show on 610.
Oh, my.
Or 96.5, I guess we should say now.
Both.
Yeah, maybe the best show then, too. Yeah.
Mike, Justin mentioned how rewarding it was to get the win in Denver for Russ. He said you gave out a petty game ball. Is that something that you've done often? Is it rewarding for you to get that win for him?
You know, none of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public, because it's about our collective and how we come together and how we appreciate and support one another. And, you know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
Give me all the ingredients, Mike.
Was that
Brooke Pryor that asked that question?
I have no idea.
That's what I was wondering.
Justin mentioned how rewarding it was to get the win in Denver for Russ. He said you gave out a petty game ball. Is that That's something Brooke. That you've done often? Is it rewarding for you to get that win for him?
You know, none of your businesses.
That's up there with Bo Nix, man. That had to have been Brooke.
That's what it sounded like. Yeah.
That's really good.
Oh, boy. And then when you get from that high of a nice little audio of a coach, you go to this one.
What about his coaching style or what about his kind of like teaching philosophy lends itself to such good like running production?
He's just a great coach. I mean, one of the best I've ever been around. You know, like Moses, I'm gonna die leaning on my staff. Greg Roman, Jesse Minner, Ryan Fick, and those coordinators are
all of them.
You know, in my opinion, some of the best in the business. And
I would hope you'd think that you hired them.
Like Moses, I'm going to lean on my staff.
Right, my staff, thy shall comfort me, or something. Wasn't that the saying? Or
the other thing too is that Moses,
thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me.
Do you think the Charger faithful are like the?
What Charger faithful?
The fans, maybe?
That fake fan that we saw last
year? Do you think they believe that he can part the Red Sea?
I'm going back to the original point. Mm-hmm. What Charger faithful?
Okay. Like Moses. I lean on my staff.
I mean, honestly, who knows a Chargers fan? They literally had to plant that lady in the crowd.
There was that one lady.
Other than that, have you ever run into anybody who's like, I'm a Charger fan?
Yeah, I mean, I know a few.
You do? Mm. Besides Carrington.
Mm.
Okay.
They play at Pittsburgh this weekend.
Oh boy. Battle of two O's.
Yep. Tomlin versus Harbaugh.
Battle of two and O's. I like that.
Justin mentioned how rewarding it was to get the win in Denver for Russ. He said you gave out a petty game ball. Is that something that you've done often? Is it rewarding for you to get that win for him?
You know, none of your businesses.
I love it. I like, he's my second favorite coach behind Andy Reid. Always has been, right? Love the guy. I forget what I was going to say. Something about Tom.
And my dad did say that is the 23rd Psalm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. You nailed it.
Was it Moses, though, that was resting on thy rod and thy staff that and it comforted correct. Him?
Also, Moses is the one that promised his people to lead them to the promised land. Never saw it, but he led them to there. Right. And I don't think Harbaugh can lead them to the promised land.
Yeah, I don't think he can either. Again, I'm still going back to this Charger faithful. I don't know where these people are. But to look at Mike Tomlin for a second, he talked about, you know, the ingredients to a hot dog. What is on your perfect hot dog?
Relish and mustard. That's it.
That's it. Okay. I go sauerkraut and brown mustard, and that's all I need.
That's more of like a Polish or a brat. But like, I'll do it all. Like, I'll do ketchup, mustard, I'm fine with it. But like, if I'm at like a hot dog bar and there's like onion, you know, relish, ketchup, mustard, whatever, I'll literally just go relish and mustard.
Relish and mustard. What about you?
If I'm like making myself,
you probably put ketchup just on.
No, plain. But if I go to
you eat a hot dog naked?
Plain. But if I go to like Daddy's Dog.
How many bodies are in your basement?
If I go to like Daddy's Dog, like a Chicago dog's good.
A Daddy's Dog.
That's a lot on. I do like a Chicago dog, but at times I'm like, there's just too much.
Yeah, it's too much.
Give me the sauerkraut. Give me the brown mustard, and that's it. And if there's no sauerkraut, I'll throw onion instead of that on there. So.
Don't like
or
any of that.
You could give me just chili and cheese, and I'd be fine.
That's a meal then, right?
Then you got a
knife and a fork and all that kind of stuff. I want to hold my hot dog and be able to eat it, right? I don't want to have to deal with a fork and a knife and all that kind of stuff. But this guy's eating his plain. What's worse, Kling smearing mayo on his wiener, or are you eating yours plain?
I'd smear some mayo in my wiener.
Oh, God. That's like a thing in Seattle. People do this kind of stuff and just like, oh, yeah, and nothing else. I'm not going to eat it dry. I'm not a psycho.
Hi. If you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself?
Yeah, you would.
Hell, I would. I'd finish it with a cold Budweiser.
Yeah. That the best about that is that, like, that's how people really think Harry Gary talks.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, doctor, we got to talk about this mad cow disease. Because if we get it, we're going to die.
Odds that Mac knows who Harry Carey is.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you think...
You know Will Ferrell is.
Yes.
Do you know why Harry Carey got kicked out of St. Louis?
He slept
with Bush's
sleeping
wife.
Sleeping with the boss's daughter. Yeah. Don't do that.
Well, no, it's a wife.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
He
didn't get a second chance in St. Louis, but this guy gets a second chance in Kansas City. We'll explain here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.